Streaming sponsored by the Madison Concourse Hotel.
Celebrate New Year's Eve at the Madison Concourse Hotel and Governor's Club. Enjoy live jazz, a surf and turf dinner, comedians, disco with BO5, classic country, a DJ dance party, and a ballroom brunch to start 2025 off right. Details at concoursehotel.com.
Bradley Blackburn is at New York's LaGuardia Airport.
In New York, the Port Authority says more than 5 million travelers are expected to pass through area airports over the holiday season. And while the busiest travel days are already behind us, a big jump in airport traffic is expected now through the new year. Passengers at New York's LaGuardia Airport told us they're prepared for the holiday rush. Some are urging others to make the best out of any travel hiccups.
Delays make great adventures and you never know who you're going
to meet. AAA also advises travelers to know their rights. Federal guidelines now require airlines to give travelers a refund for canceled flights.
FlightAware reports there are already more than 500 delays in the U.S. today and dozens of canceled flights. Yesterday, there were at least three tornadoes in Texas.
Tornado warnings issued throughout southeast Texas around Houston on Thursday. The first tornado reported in Wharton County, just east.
Oh, Daddy! It's a tornado!
Next coming in Liberty County to the west.
We were literally just on the floor just trying to take cover just in case anything was going to come in through the windows.
So far, reports of damage but no injuries. Thunderstorms also dropping heavy rains, flooding, and hail in North Texas. Governor Greg Abbott activating the State Department of Emergency Management to respond. Chris Fox for CBS News, Austin.
There's more fallout from that brief martial law declaration in South Korea. Reporter Alex Jensen is in Seoul.
192 lawmakers from South Korea's 300-seat National Assembly voted to impeach acting President Han Duck-soo, including for allegedly abetting now-suspended President Yoon Sung-yeol's martial law order earlier this month. So now, Finance Minister Choi Sang-mok steps in as acting president.
Here in the U.S., President-elect Donald Trump is renewing his threat to take back the Panama Canal. CBS's Katrina Kaufman has more.
On his social media site Thursday, President-elect Donald Trump called attention to a news article saying Russian President Vladimir Putin said he is ready for potential talks with Trump. As he prepares to return to the Oval Office, the president-elect has been talking about trade and foreign policy, with his recent focus turning to the Panama Canal. Trump says U.S. ships are being unfairly charged for access to the canal, which the U.S. built and ran for decades before turning it over to Panama in 1999.
Ukraine has sent its first batch of food aid to Syria, enough wheat flour to feed 33,000 families for a month. Ukraine wants to restore relations with Syria now that the Assad regime is gone. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
The Bucks drop one to the Nets. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks lost at home to the Brooklyn Nets, 111-105. Damian Lillard and Giannis both out with what's described as a non-COVID illness. Doc Rivers says the Nets' defense made the difference.
I thought the pressure got to us. I thought we didn't handle it very well. They sped us up. We broke our offense.
The Bucks travel to Chicago to play the Bulls tomorrow night. NFL Packers holding practice for Sunday's game in Minnesota. Matt LaFleur asked about the status of defensive back Jair Alexander.
His chances of playing this week better than
mine? I'd say probably not.
What's standing in the way?
His knee.
Men's college hockey. The Badgers take on Ferris State at 5 o'clock tomorrow night in the holiday faceoff at Fiserv Forum in Milwaukee. Wisconsin 7-10-1 for the season so far.
We'll have our work cut out from us, but for us right now, it's us getting focused for the puck drop, finding a way to get that game in our side of the ledger.
That's the Badgers head coach Mike Hastings. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The film Gross Point Blank did not have a funny script, according to Minnie Driver. The New York Post reports that Driver, who played the lead role opposite John Cusack, said it was a consensus on the set that the script wasn't funny, so they took it upon themselves to improvise after clearing it with the studio. I wouldn't say the improvising made the film funny. Driver most likely did not get a Christmas card from the writer of Gross Point Blank. Paul Hogan's Crocodile Dundee co-star has passed away at the tender age of 90. Crocodile Heaven just welcomed one of its best actors in Bert the Crocodile, who played opposite Hogan in the charming 1980s comedy that made everyone think they could pull off an Australian accent. Bert the Crocodile died at Crocosaurus Cove, sort of like the Beverly Hills retirement home for crocodiles in Australia. Bert's acting work was commended in the Crocodile franchise, but he had trouble landing roles afterwards, probably because of either bad representation, the fact that he was never good at auditioning, or there were just not enough roles written for crocodiles. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
It is going to be foggy and drizzly today with rain likely this afternoon. Our high today right around 44. More rain tonight, up to a quarter inch possible with a low of 42. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, a few off and on showers with a high right around 50. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 41.
Earl Ingram.
On the next show, Sandy Williams makes his return. We'll talk about the biggest issues in politics that will affect you headed into the new year. You won't want to miss it.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. From our Lake Wasota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, it's nice to have you along for one of the end-of-the-year editions of Up North News Radio, where we revisit 2024 in different ways. We have some of our lighter moments. We have some of our favorite guests, specific topics like our weekly reports on climate change. And this hour, a bit of a year in review through the perspective of how we talked about each day's events. And I'd love to tell you that everything that came out of my mouth and into this microphone and right into your ears was always right, and you could bet the farm on my pearls of wisdom. But we all see that the year 2024 is ending not exactly how we thought it would look 12 months ago. So for our first highlight for the year in review, I'll start with some self-administered humble pie. Here's one of our first shows of the year and a couple of minutes of what I had to say coming back from vacation, talking about the anniversary of the January 6th insurrection and the ridiculous things ex-President Donald Trump was saying on the campaign trail. And you can hear in my voice that I figured that voters, having rejected Trump in 2020, had the tools to see through him again. But, well, look, let's first enjoyed listening back to the state of the race last January 8th. A lot of what we are going to start with deals with the weekend anniversary of the January 6th attack. And all last week, being back from vacation, I never mentioned that my beach read for this last go round was the Heather Cox Richardson book, Democracy Awakening. I know a lot of folks read Heather Cox Richardson's daily newsletters. They are brilliant in putting the day's political events into perspective, often with a historical context. If you are a fan of Heather Cox Richardson, you'll like the book, but you will also, I had to put the book down many times because it just made me very angry at the things that we know have happened. All of the warning signs have been out there for generations about places this country could go to, the dark places this country could go to, if we essentially took our democracy for granted. And it just shows that, again, Trump was not the beginning of this movement. He's merely the latest manifestation and has taken it further than other politicians before that. Just look at this weekend as Trump was rambling across Iowa, referring to the insurrectionists as patriots and hostages, which, by the way, begs the question, which is it? Are they hostages who he's promising to pardon? Because I also thought they were FBI undercover people and Antifa people. So
which is it? Which are the group that beat police with baseball bats and American flags? Who sprayed them with chemicals? Who hunted for lawmakers? Who put up a gallows outside the U.S. Capitol? Are these really hostages? That's the case he's making. He also, again, over the weekend, praised dictators, referring to President Xi multiple times as brilliant for, as he put it, ruling 1.5 billion people with an iron fist. That's the guy who soiled the presidency previously and wants to be there again. And I know that in saying that, that's going to cheese some people off, cheese some regular folks off who vote Republican. Well, don't, because we're not talking about most people that we know who vote Republican don't talk like this. And they understand that January 6th was an attempt to overthrow an election. It's the politicians, the people who get in power and support this, who stick with Trump day in and day out, despite the many crimes and the many ways he telegraphs how he wants to upend democracy. Those are the folks who are, at this point, aptly described the way that Mark Jacob named them. And it's not nice. And it's going to lead to a busy 2024. And as I said, we'll talk about, you know, the little things that can get started right now to make sure that 2024 isn't some kind of a bellwether year in the continued corrosion of democracy, but instead where we see Americans of all political stripes take a stand and say, look, democracy, like it or not, is most uniquely defined in this way compared to all other systems. Democracy is properly described as the losers of elections go willingly, that there is a peaceful transfer of power that started with George Washington. And yet here's Donald Trump not only fighting that once before, but telegraphing that, you know, violence would be okay this year as well. And here he has continually put himself up there as the greatest president, comparing himself to Washington, comparing himself to Lincoln, and saying over the weekend that he could negotiate a better deal, you know, for the Civil War, that he thought that if he were there, he said he'd be so good at negotiating that people would never know if Abraham Lincoln was any good. That's actually, and again, when he says the Civil War could have been negotiated, I mean, the Washington Post has already reached out to some historians who respectfully, shall we say, disagree. Because again, what are you negotiating after the Confederacy fires on Fort Sumter and starts to leave the Union, secede from the United States over the issue of slavery? What does that tell you Donald Trump would be willing to do? We already know the answer, because we already know where he is on Ukraine. We already know that he loves Putin, respects him, thinks he's a strong, brilliant person. And so, you know, if you got to give up a little bit of Ukraine, that's fine. Amazing how that would have worked out in Europe, you know, when Hitler was doing the same shtick. This is the guy that you want negotiating. He hasn't negotiated anything. He never negotiated a healthcare plan. He never negotiated an infrastructure plan. He's not a negotiator. He's not a successful businessman. He's a snake oil salesman who's done good the first time, got lucky the first time, lost the second time, and yet is coming back at another kick of the can, hopefully with Americans who've read books like Heather Cox Richardson's and others, and are better prepared to stand up for our democracy. Ooh, get a load of that guy from way back then. It sure seemed at the time like standing up for democracy was going to connect with folks. I mean, they saw what happened. They saw the January 6th Congressional Committee and all that it uncovered. But instead, we were told the election was going to be more about vibes. For example, if the economy is recovering, but Trump and his allies said often enough that the economy was terrible, well, that's what Trump was saying, so it must be true. No? Okay, fine. So how about if Trump actually tells you that even after all these years, he still doesn't have a replacement plan for the Affordable Care Act? Will folks believe him about that?
Here's the audio from something I talked about in social media posts from right after one of the debates.
So just a yes or no, you still do not have a plan.
I have concepts of a plan.
Wait. The concept of a plan? After 9 years?
I'm not president right now.
But you were for 4 years. We remember, trust me, all those years of trying to kill the Affordable Care Act without a replacement, without the concept of a plan that would replace it.
But if we come up with something, I would only change it if we come up with something that's better and less expensive.
All right, let's talk about those concepts. Do you have the concept of a plan yet that would have at least 260,000 people in Wisconsin signing up for affordable coverage? Because that's what we have right now in Wisconsin under the Affordable Care Act. A record 260,000 people signed up for affordable coverage in the last year. In all 72 counties, people had at least three different insurance options for affordable coverage. Do you have that concept?
We have to do that.
Does that concept include covering 10 different conditions like mental health care and prescription drugs?
We have to do that.
Does your concept include a requirement that 80% of insurance premiums have to go directly toward medical care, or else those insurance companies have to give back a rebate? Because in Wisconsin in 2022, insurance companies had to send $7 million back to Wisconsinites because they couldn't make that standard.
We have to do that.
And here's the big one, pre-existing conditions. All those years you tried to get the Affordable Care Act killed without a replacement meant that 2.4 million people in Wisconsin with pre-existing conditions were in danger of losing all of their health care coverage.
There are concepts and options.
It just seems to me that after 9 years, you'd be a little further along. Although, how have you been saying it for all these years?
And you'll be hearing about it in the not too distant future.
Yes, anytime now.
And spoiler alert, since that time and to this day, Trump still only has concepts of a plan. Look, the fact of the matter is, while 75 million voters liked the idea that Kamala Harris would protect health care, there were 77 million others who decided they'd rather go with Trump. That, of course, is not some kind of a massive mandate. It is, to be clear, a squeaker of a win. Still, Trump says often enough that it's a mandate and that all that came before, like the criminal prosecutions of his attempted coup in 2020, should go away. So should they? I had some thoughts on that a couple of weeks ago when the Wisconsin Department of Justice filed new criminal charges against two Trump attorneys from Wisconsin who helped carry out the fake electors part of the plan. This was at the same time that Trump's electors were meeting in state capitals around the country to certify their state's results. Greg, did you hear about the fake electors who met at the state capitol yesterday?
No, Pat, I did not hear about the fake electors who met in Madison yesterday.
Oh, you know why you didn't hear about them?
Why?
It didn't happen. It didn't happen. There weren't any fake electors meeting at the state capitol yesterday, just the real ones. Isn't that crazy?
But wait a minute, Pat. My uncle sent me an email that said forward, 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 forward. Do you see what Biden's trying to do with our elections now?
Oh, yeah. Look, here, this thing about turning the page on the 2020 election. Oh, hell no. No. And while Trump may have been able to persuade enough people to vote for him again and can therefore pardon a lot of things at the federal level, I hope everybody with a conscience and a sense of justice at the state level does not take their foot off the gas, because this ain't over. Nobody should try to steal an American election the way these people did and then get away with it. And they will if you just say, time to turn the page. No way. More of our 2024 year in review coming up next on Up North News Radio from the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your new choice, Real News, Great Conversation,
540 WAUK.
Celebrate New Year's Eve in the heart of downtown at the Madison Concourse Hotel and Governor's Club. Usher in 2025 by chilling to live jazz, feasting on a surf and turf dinner, laughing your way through live comedy, and party hopping between disco with VO5, classic country with Frank Martin Bush and the Names, and a DJ dance party. When the night is over, your guest room is a safe, warm elevator ride away, and you can start your year off right with our outstanding New Year's ballroom brunch. Find your perfect package at concoursehotel.com.
Do you know or work with kids who have special health care needs? Help them live their best lives. Contact Wisconsin Wayfinder Children's Resource Network. Our specialists will connect you with services in your area. Wisconsin Wayfinder is free and confidential. Call 877-947-2929 or visit dhs.wi.gov/WISCWAY. Connect today. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Rudolph is a holiday classic, and there's a Wisconsin connection. Maury Laws composed music for the animated show in 1964. He continued arranging hundreds of songs from his Appleton home after leaving New York 20 years later. During that time, Laws created one quirky pop song. Do you know what it is? The answer coming up.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, sort of where a lot of people's core Christmas memories come from.
Emily Locke with the Oshkosh Museum on holiday traditions around Rudolph. Laws worked for the TV production company behind the show and also wrote music for Frosty the Snowman. And about the silly song he composed. Yes, itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot bikini. Laws died in 2019 at the age of 95, but his music lives on as a wonderful slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to our year in review from Up North News Radio. Rant by rant, I guess you could call this edition. And yeah, Donald Trump's win was big news. But at Up North News, our bread and butter is Wisconsin politics. So let's cover some things done by the Republican legislature or Democratic Governor Tony Evers. First, this clip from mid-February that really captures the difference in how each party would handle a budget surplus for you. Out of the legislature yesterday, another attempt, a third attempt to pass a tax cut, and not a tax cut for the middle class so much as a tax cut skewed toward the already very well off. According to a projection by the Institute on Taxation and Economic Policy, nearly two-thirds of the income tax savings would go to the highest paid 20% of Wisconsin taxpayers. That group has an average income of over $300,000 a year and is obviously skewed much higher than that. That's where the lion's share of the money would go. Assembly Minority Leader Greta Neubauer blasted the package, calling it fiscally irresponsible, saying the cuts would disproportionately benefit the wealthy and drain the state's $7 billion surplus. Democratic Representative Tip McGuire of the Kenosha area told Republicans that Tony Evers is basically going to save you from yourselves by vetoing the package. Republicans, for their part, stuck with the same old talking point to make it sound like they're looking out for the middle class and lower income working families by saying the surplus should be returned to the taxpayers. And so let's say it again for our conservative friends. No, you don't return a surplus, not all of it, when it's designed to help our tax dollars have a government that functions. When you say that people can spend their money better than government, not all of it, because, no, you didn't fill any potholes today. You didn't try to teach dozens of kids. You probably aren't working a shift today that could end with you putting out a house fire, chasing down a dangerous fugitive, guarding inmates, protecting our resources,
processing the paperwork that ensures families have health care, cars have license plates. You probably aren't going to do any meat inspections today to make sure our food is safe. You aren't going to trench any fiber optic cable to expand broadband service to your own legislative district. You're not going to stock any of our lakes today with fish. You sure as hell haven't done anything to replace lead pipes or clean up PFAS from any of the many tainted drinking water systems out there. You're not going to take time today to paint new lines on the highways. You're not driving a school bus. Our taxes paid for other hardworking people to do all of those things today. That's where we want our taxes to go. That's where we want the surplus to go, not to your really rich donor buddies. In fact, of all the things paid for with our tax dollars yesterday, when you took this vote, you were probably the laziest and least deserving. You didn't really earn any part of your $50,000 salary yesterday. If you still can't figure out that a budget surplus isn't yours to give away in tax cuts skewed to the wealthy, it's to do the things that make people want to come to Wisconsin, stay in Wisconsin, set up shop in Wisconsin, when all you've been doing for years is chasing away many of our best and brightest. That, of course, would not be the only time I called out Republican leadership in the Assembly and Senate for failing to meet our state's needs. In late June, a staffer at the Lincoln Hills Juvenile Correctional Facility was beaten to death by a 16-year-old. Lincoln Hills should have been closed down by that time, but in what's become a familiar theme in Madison, GOP lawmakers put their squabbling with Governor Evers ahead of almost everything else. I have to first share something I've just seen in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. The youth charged in the fatal beating of a guard at Wisconsin's embattled prison for troubled youth was supposed to be housed in a different facility, but could not be moved because Republican lawmakers have withheld funding that would have facilitated the transfer. Republicans who control the legislature, writes Laura Schulte, have refused funding to expand the number of beds at another state facility for teen offenders with serious mental health needs. These are the same Republican legislators who have held up PFAS cleanup money for nearly a full year. They've allowed water to remain contaminated in Wisconsin, holding up that money. They're holding up $15 million for Chippewa Valley healthcare needs. They're holding up $50 million to improve literacy and reading programs in Wisconsin schools. And they have held up the funding that would have improved conditions at Lincoln Hills. And now somebody there is dead as a result. And all because of petty games that they continue to want to play with Governor Tony Evers, rather than doing their job. Now, we can't be all about carping on GOP shortcomings, so let's close this segment with some good news. Good things are happening around what was supposed to be what Donald Trump called the eighth wonder of the world. And Foxconn did create some jobs, but it was Governor Evers who right-sized the taxpayer package and made other smart investments that are now leading to even more companies and even more jobs coming to Southeast Wisconsin. Eli Lilly, the big drug maker, is about to make a huge investment in Southeast Wisconsin. This isn't a story about the state of Wisconsin giving Eli Lilly, you know, billions of dollars. This is not a Foxconn kind of story. And let's go back to 2019. It's when Governor Evers joined the leaders of a company called Nexus Pharmaceuticals, $1.5 million in performance-based tax credits. So you have to get stuff done to get the credits. Now fast forward to earlier this year when Eli Lilly announced it was acquiring the manufacturing facility from Nexus and is now going to expand upon it, a $3 billion expansion of a manufacturing facility. It wasn't like in Foxconn. Let's push all of the taxpayer money to the center of the table and you guys just take that and we'll take it on faith that you're going to do something with it. No. Instead, by smartly investing in smaller businesses that were nimble, had more potential for growth, the larger company then comes in and is able to make a mammoth investment on its own. And it all got done
with a $1.5 million targeted tax credit plan from the state of Wisconsin. More of our 2024 year in review coming up next on Up North News Radio from the Civic Media Radio Network.
A new choice, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation, 540 WAUK. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Farmers are feeling the effects of PFAS chemicals. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report along with you on a Friday morning. These are the substances that are found in nonstick cookware and firefighting foam, among other things. The American Farm Bureau Federation says PFAS, otherwise known as forever chemicals, are polluting the land and water. Director of Government Affairs Courtney Briggs says, unfortunately, a farm could be held liable for that contamination through no fault of their own.
I think a lot of people scratch their heads saying, well, what does this have to do with agriculture? We don't use PFAS chemicals. It's true, we don't. But because it's traveling through the water, and we know that PFAS likes to stick to organic matter, so a PFAS chemical, man, do they love soil. So we're seeing contaminated farm fields. We're seeing a water supply that is given to livestock operations contaminated with PFAS. This is affecting agriculture. The problem that we have is that the Biden administration has finalized a rule that would open farmers up to being liable for PFAS contamination through no fault of their own.
Courtney Briggs says that with a new administration coming in, the American Farm Bureau Federation will advocate for protections for farmers so that they are not held liable for PFAS contamination when it wasn't their fault. Stick around for a look at your market update.
Giving back, it's at the heart of the Wisconsin farmer, and it starts with supporting the backbones of our community. That's why the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board invests in soy foam for our firefighters. Soy foam TF1122 is the first and only firefighting foam green screen certified at the gold level. As a PFAS-free firefighting foam, it's safe for you and the environment. A safe future for your community. Thanks to your soy checkoff. Learn more at wisoybean.org.
There goes Pam Yonke across Wisconsin in her suburban truck. Thanks to Equity Livestock Cooperative, marketing your livestock, financing your operation, and supporting the livestock community since 1922. And to Cleary Building Corp, Cleary Building Corp, built with pride before the shamrock is applied. Explore clearybuilding.com today. Keep up with Pam at MidwestFarmReport.com and on Facebook and Instagram.
From Chicago, markets are fairly quiet after the holiday break. 2025 corn is sitting neutral at 441 and three quarters. 2025 new crop soybeans are down a half a penny at 1009 a bushel. And July new crop wheat is trading down 2 cents at 557 and a half. Looking at our Class 3 milk contracts, the January contract is trading up a penny at 1963 a hundredweight, and the February contract is up 2 cents at 1990. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be foggy and drizzly today with rain likely this afternoon. Our high today right around 44. More rain tonight, up to a quarter inch possible with a low of 42. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, a few off and on showers with a high right around 50. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 41.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
UW System spends $51 million of our taxpayer money for consultants. Three times the budget shortfall that triggered the Oshkosh layoffs in 2023. Why is there such silence from Democrats in the state capitol on this? Ask people at Richland Center, Waukesha, Washington County, if they got their $51 million worth for the UW system.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home.
Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
Happy holidays, all. I am on vacation, but you're going to have Jimmy Costa behind the mic. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back. Let's continue our review of 2024 with three people that constantly make us do a double take about things they're doing or saying: Ron Johnson, Tom Tiffany, and Derek Van Orden, folks that make the rest of the country look at us and go, really, Wisconsin? This is what you're sending us? Let's start with Joe Sopecki coming out of left field over the summer with a brilliant observation about our senior senator being completely ignored in the 2024 Veep Stakes.
Can we stop and talk about Ron Johnson for 1 second?
Sure.
Because a thought occurred to me this week. Yeah. The Veep Stakes is ramping up.
Oh, yes, yes.
And here's my question for you, Pat. How nuts do people have to think you are for a politically successful, elected multiple times in a battleground state, the battleground state of Wisconsin, with a business background, outsider-y, kind of like Donald Trump, the Don and Ron show. Remember that one?
Yeah.
How nuts do you have to be for there never to be even a whisper of Ron Johnson being Donald Trump's vice president?
I'm absolutely shell-shocked by this because of why? Because of Doug Burgum. Who?
Right.
Who? Well, Doug Burgum, the governor of North Dakota, he's a businessman and he's wealthy and he delivers absolutely nothing. And holy cow, Joe, if Doug Burgum's on that short list, why isn't Ron Johnson on there?
Inquiring minds want to know. My theory here is that even the Trump world thinks Ron Johnson has gone so far around the bend that they want nothing to do with him. And that, my friends, is a heck of an achievement.
Oh, boy. Donald Trump does not like to be upstaged. And let's be honest, when it comes to being a puppet for Putin, could Ron Johnson ever tone it down? The answer, of course, is niet.
Our policy should be focused on how do we bring Vladimir Putin to the table. But an awful lot of what Vladimir Putin said was right, making people believe like Ukraine can win. No, Ukraine can't. Putin won't lose. Putin will not lose. He's not going to lose.
Of course Putin can lose. Why Ron Johnson insists on being Vladimir Putin's hype man all these years remains a mystery. But the truth is, Ukraine can win, and Russia can get tired of the cost of war and pull out. The Soviet Union did it in Afghanistan. We did it in Afghanistan and Vietnam. Heck, we won our independence because England decided that the conflict overseas was no longer worth it. The place to make a stand and to support Ukraine and a secure Europe is right here, right now, with Ukrainians doing the fighting. If Putin were to win Ukraine in part or in whole, he wouldn't stop there. He'd move on to Poland or one of the Baltic states, and that would trigger an American response with soldiers fighting overseas. Bottom line is, we need our elected officials to stop licking boots overseas.
Putin won't lose. Putin will not lose. He's not going to lose.
Before we end up with American boots on the ground in a war zone.
If we get to the point in this country where we jail political prisoners, expect the Statue of Liberty to be locked up, charged by Congressman Tom Tiffany with having the gall to acknowledge that we are a nation of immigrants. All right, well, the congressman from up north appears to be at it again. Tom Tiffany is showing us for the 11D gazillionth time that he has no interest in being a public servant who works on issues that matter to regular folks in his district. He has always been about big business. But in order to get and stay in power to advocate for the wealthy and the corporate, he focuses on fear and division at the local level. Normally, he does this at the southern border, which is odd since his southern border is the Chippewa County line. But normally, he's talking about folks trying to come into the country. Oftentimes, moms and dads are the people that he's demonizing, people whose lives are in danger.
people who are seeking shelter, who are seeking safety, who are seeking a chance to work. He calls these vulnerable families an invasion. And the thing is, he knows better. He knows that Wisconsin agriculture, for example, would absolutely collapse without the undocumented immigrants that are here already. And would they like to be documented? Would they like to be legal? Yes. But Tom Tiffany, like nearly every other Republican politician these days, has no interest in actually solving the problem. So long as they can block any immigration solution and continue demonizing these outsiders, he gets to win elections and stay in power, cutting taxes for billionaires, encouraging polluters, comforting the comfortable, and afflicting the afflicted. Now Tiffany has an issue at his actual southern border here in the Chippewa Valley, because next door in Eau Claire County, there's a caravan coming, an invasion, to hear him tell it. Now, who are these scary people behind this caravan? They're a Christian humanitarian organization called World Relief. Now, for those folks who might need a refresher, humanitarian organizations help humans in dire need. Actual dire need. Not dire need like, well, you used to like Bud Light, but then they let someone do their commercials that you don't like, so now you're a victim because you have to find another beer to drink. No, that's not dire. Dire is your hometown has been blown up and your neighbors are lying dead and maimed all around you in a war zone. They were living nice, normal lives, working hard, raising kids. Then something they didn't seek out happened to them. If it had happened to you, you'd be looking for a little humanity. And that's where humanitarian groups step in. One of them, World Relief, is looking to provide the resources so that 75 people in dire need can get out of danger and start over someplace, raise a family, work hard, become part of a new community. But of course, as soon as you slap a label on them, refugees, now they're too dirty or too dangerous for you to remember. They're not actually that much different from you, except that your city didn't get blown up. But to hear Congressman Tiffany and some others tell it, the Chippewa Valley can't afford to support humanity. And even if it weren't about the money, what about vetting these refugees? By the way, side note, the odds are quite good that your ancestors were looked down upon as refugees when they came here, leaving famine or poverty or violence, when all they wanted was safety and shelter and a place to work hard and raise their kids. According to the Eau Claire Leader-Telegram, Congressman Tiffany said in Chippewa County about the vetting process, quote, "It really is a different system of migration coming into our country at this point. It's not an understatement at this point to say our country is being invaded." That's not an understatement, Congressman Tiffany. That's a lie. The system being used by a humanitarian organization overseas in this effort in Eau Claire is different than the chaos that we see at the southern border, chaos that is directly the result of people like Tom Tiffany and Ron Johnson and others actively working to undermine any effort at immigration reform year after year after year. But back to World Relief and their plans for the Chippewa Valley, as explained by the group's vice president in an interview with WQOW, refugees are people who are invited by the U.S. government while they're overseas. They are vetted overseas in a process regulated under U.S. law. It authorizes programs and assistance for domestic resettlement to refugees. It says that the Office of Refugee Resettlement will meet with the agency, the humanitarian groups, as well as state and local officials. Those meetings have been going on for months, looking at data related to housing, employment, demographics, and more to be sure that any given community is a good fit and that these folks will not become a burden to the community, but could put down roots and be beneficial to the community. Except that, as often happens through American history, there's always a few folks ready to yank the welcome mat. Which brings us to Chippewa County and a proposed resolution before the Chippewa County Board that wants a moratorium on refugee resettlement, you know, until we can figure out what does it cost us money-wise to be humanitarian. I've no doubt that the move to get a moratorium passed by the Chippewa County Board is because they tried to get one passed in Eau Claire, and the county board voted no by a 2-1 margin, 18-9. Fun fact, by the way, when it comes to passing a moratorium, Wisconsin used to have something called a mining moratorium that said if you wanted to put a mine in Wisconsin, well, there's a moratorium. Unless you can prove you've operated a mine for years somewhere else, that it was closed and capped and didn't pollute for several years, if you prove you can mine responsibly, you can mine. But if you can't, there's a moratorium. Except there's not anymore. You know who blew up that moratorium? Toxic Tom Tiffany. Now he wants a moratorium on immigration, and he's bringing that same toxic language to a discussion over welcoming people in distress who've been vetted, because making some people scared of other people is how people like Tom Tiffany win elections. Not by actually doing something to, say, address the crazy big shortage of workers, you know, through things like immigration reform. Now, I know the response is going to be, we're not against those people. We're just looking for more information. Okay. Just don't count on me to be surprised if after you've received some information, you say you need some more and then some more. And even then, you still have concerns. The way other people had concerns about your great-grandfather. I mean, after all, look at him. He's Irish, or he's Jewish, or he's Asian. He doesn't look like a hard worker. He looks like somebody who's going to come here and just collect a check to do nothing, when the story of immigration in our country is anything but. I would contend that if you want to talk about someone who isn't a hard worker, who just wants to collect a check to do nothing, I have a congressman I could tell you about, or some legislators. Maybe the moratorium should be on stunts that target human beings in need when there's real work that these politicians could be doing instead of photo ops and stunts. Congressman Derek Van Orden squeaked out another close win in November, giving Western Wisconsin two more years to endure the keyboard warrior. I noted in June how he loved spreading conspiracies about President Biden, maybe so folks wouldn't notice how little he's accomplished versus what he has done with some of his votes. Okay, so Derek Van Orden passes that along as a way to distract from Trump, apparently. But maybe it's a way to distract from something Derek Van Orden did as well. Maybe it's a way to distract from a vote late last week in favor of putting a Confederate monument back at Arlington National Cemetery. And keep in mind, Derek Van Orden loves to talk about being a Navy SEAL and being a veteran. And yet he and more than 190 Republicans voted to restore a Confederate monument. Now, this amendment to a proposed defense spending measure lost big time, 230 to 192, but only 24 Republicans had the courage. I would go a step further. Only 24 Republicans had the brains not to restore a Confederate monument. But not Derek Van Orden, not Tom Tiffany, not Scott Fitzgerald, not Glenn Grothman. To those and any others who say, well, this is just part of Southern heritage and tradition, House Democratic Leader Hakeem Jeffries put it this way. What tradition are you upholding? Slavery? Rape? Kidnapping? Jim Crow? Lynching? Racial oppression? All of the above? Is how Hakeem Jeffries put it. When you hear the word heritage, be alert. Heritage is a word that's now used in political terms to defend laziness, to defend the indefensible, to defend inaction, to defend uncaring, which is where I would again strongly, earnestly urge local media in Wisconsin to stop treating Derek Van Orden with kid gloves. He was once again at a local farm over the weekend talking about farming and the family farm, and we need to keep the family farm going. It's an integral part of our heritage here in Wisconsin, Van Orden said. Heritage, a word to defend uncaring and inaction. Like the farm bill, where Derek Van Orden hasn't done a single thing to make life better for Wisconsin farmers. But he's got time to spread lies about Joe Biden and vote to restore a Confederate
Monument. Hey, to listen back to any of our shows from 2024, head to civicmedia.us, click on shows, find our page and scroll through all we've done, and subscribe to us as a podcast while you're there. This is Up North News Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK. The Dom Salvia Show.
How about this one? Harvey K., a Delano Democrat.
The problem with that is that that was his mother's family name. You might not realize that he had a father, too.
Come on, man.
Subscribe to my arguments and you can call a Dom Democrat.
All right, I'll take a Dom Democrat. But Franklin Delano Roosevelt, a big favorite here on this show.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network. And on the Civic Media app, the Todd Albaugh Show.
UW Systems spends $51 million of our taxpayer money for consultants. Three times the budget shortfall that triggered the Oshkosh layoffs in 2023. Why is there such silence from Democrats in the state capitol on this? Ask people in Richland Center, Waukesha, Washington County, if they got their $51 million worth for the UW system.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all the fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
We're closing out this hour's look back at our commentary on the news events of 2024. Let's end with something I was sure was going to have more traction with voters. There was a bipartisan agreement to secure the border and reform immigration. Bipartisan, popular. And Donald Trump blew it up and admitted he needed to keep it as a campaign issue. Big, dumb, obvious mistake, right? I guess not. To set it all up, I talked about Assembly Speaker Robin Voss trying to have it both ways on Donald Trump's big lie about the 2020 election. All right, there is a new effort underfoot to drive Wisconsin Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss from office. And it's not coming from, you know, where you might think. It's not coming from Democrats. It's coming again, like the last time, from fellow Republicans, a subset of fellow Republicans, right-wing Republicans who think that Robin Voss hasn't done enough to help Donald Trump steal the 2020 election in Wisconsin. Voss has dismissed the recall attempt as a waste of time and resources. Then he engaged in the same kind of partisan bullying that he's been known for during his time in the legislature. He questioned the validity of the signatures, promising that a team he had assembled would, quote, evaluate each individual signature, which, yes, on the one hand means they're checking for the validity, but much like the recall petitions against Scott Walker, you can also see how those signatures might become weaponized and people might become targets for political communication. The recall efforts, they basically highlight the continued frustration among Trump supporters and how Voss responded to it. As you know, Trump narrowly won Wisconsin in 2016, but narrowly lost to Joe Biden in 2020 by about 21,000 votes. That count has withstood partial recounts, numerous lawsuits, an independent audit, and a review by a conservative law firm.
Some of Voss's supporters are saying, well, these folks are Democrats, or if they aren't Democrats, then they're basically symbolic Democrats. And I'm simply going to read the reaction from Dan Schaefer from the recombobulation area when he wrote, quote, Voss emboldened election deniers post-2020 by launching the Gableman quote-unquote investigation, making Janelle Branchen the head of the Assembly Elections Committee, and more. But Voss couldn't produce their impossible endgame, and now that emboldening is backfiring, and this is entirely deserved. And that's exactly it. Voss was playing with fire. You know, he coddled the election deniers, and he tried to placate them, and then he tried to essentially ignore them or shunt them to the side, tried to give them lip service, basically playing with fire and not having the guts to do the right thing. And that is to stand up and say, no, the election results in Wisconsin are fair and honest, and Donald Trump lost, and let's just accept that and move on. But unfortunately, we live in an age where the folks who could be standing up to Donald Trump and the Republican Party won't do so. And that takes us to Alabama Senator Katie Britt. And we talked a bit on Friday about her uniquely creepy response to the State of the Union address. But then the story that she was telling about sex trafficking and migrants turned out to be not true. Because again, as we say all the time, when you can't win on ideas, you make stuff up. You tell a scary story about sex trafficking to attack President Biden, conveniently leaving out the part about how the story took place during the George W. Bush years. And it took place in Mexico, not the U.S. It took an independent journalist to figure out that Senator Britt was fabricating the details of the story and basically exploiting the very people she pretends to care about. The woman who is at the center of the story, which did happen, but again, 20 years ago in Mexico, said she wants politicians to basically stop using her story for partisan purposes. She said, the work I do is not a game. But a spokesperson for Senator Britt said, the story Senator Britt told was 100% correct. In other words, if we don't admit that we lied, we can keep telling the lie, I guess. But here's the worst part of it. Senator Britt was part of the Republican negotiating team that was working on a bipartisan border security and immigration bill. And they did it. They actually got it done. They had a chance to show that Republicans could work with Democrats, with both sides making concessions, both sides compromising. And then when Donald Trump said to blow it up so that everyone's misery down at the border could continue and give him something to talk about, she and the other Republicans just rolled over. Her speech on Thursday night could have been really big. She could have said, I want you to call on my colleagues to schedule the vote on this bill. It's the best bill that could have come up in 30 years. Let's get it done. I'm sorry, former President Trump, but we're trying to get some work done. We're trying to solve some problems. She didn't. Instead, she made a Saturday Night Live worthy joke of herself, which Scarlett Johansson worked to perfection over the weekend. So congratulations, Senator Britt. You got your moment of time. You got your audition for Donald Trump. But the actual work that you could have gotten done is still languishing because you lacked that political courage. But somehow, lack of political courage became an asset in 2024. It has a lot to do with the media landscape, so it also explains why we've spent the past hour revisiting it, to make clear the truth isn't going away, and there are new voices, new media outlets, willing to tackle misinformation in the hopes of giving norms and democracy a few more victories in the future. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Thanks for listening. This is Up North News Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your new
choice. Real news. Great conversation. 540 WAUK.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, James Santel, former U.S. attorney and host of Amicus, the Law Review, will join me to discuss if the president-elect should be disqualified under the 14th Amendment's Insurrection Clause. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays 4 till 6.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Wallace. A lot of holiday travelers will have more bad weather to contend with today. There were thousands of flight delays and cancellations yesterday, and FlightAware reports there are already 757 delays and 63 cancellations today. This woman has had a horrible time at Dallas-Fort Worth Airport.
We have a connecting flight here from DFW to Tokyo for our second anniversary, and it's been delayed 12 times.
Texas, Louisiana, and Arkansas are under tornado watches again this morning. CBS's Katie Weiss is in Houston.
The Texas governor has issued an emergency declaration and has activated emergency responders, including swift water rescue teams.
There were at least three twisters in the Houston area yesterday. They caused some damage, but no injuries. President Biden will spend the next few days in St. Croix.
The president has taken this trip to St. Croix every year for the New Year's holiday. St. Croix and the U.S.